Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number. If you are a small business owner, if you're thinking about being a small business owner, and you probably are facing the challenges of making sure that you have enough working capital and making sure that you have enough cash flow in your business, and one very, very important, critical component of your business is your relationship with your banker. And maybe bankers. And we have a guest with us today who's been with us before. I've asked him to join us again to talk to us about that relationship. His name is Mike Menzies. He's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you with us. And I want to talk about the banking relationship between small business owners and their bank. But first, you were just telling me that you got some new visitors, some annual visitors that have just come into your area there.
That's exactly right. Every year we get 60, 80, 100,000, excuse me, of our closest friends from Canada, called the Canadian Goose.
The Canada Goose, how about that?
They come down the Eastern Flyway and visit us here in Easton, the waterfowl capital of the world, and provide not just a lot of color, but quite frankly, a lot to our local economy.
Well, I wanted to make sure we got that Chamber of Commerce message in there, Mike. The president of the Chamber of Commerce thanks you for that.
But thank you.
Well, I bet it's a real trip to see all those geese in there. And do they ever become a problem? Sometimes they do.
Yeah, they have been a problem on the East Coast, in particular when they decide to reside on some putting greens.
Golf courses don't like the geese.
Mm-hmm. We don't consider them a problem here on the Delmarva Peninsula. They're great visitors, and they're truly part of our heritage and our culture.
Well, they're magnificent, and if you put everything in perspective, Mike, the geese that are flying in now who have the memories of their ancestors from 500 or 600 years ago are saying, you know, those things down there walking around on the ground, they're kind of a problem for us.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, Mike, I remember hearing our ancestors talk about when we didn't have to put up with those creatures down there. You know, they've got all these things they call golf courses, and they got gas pumps and all these buildings. You know, I wish they weren't there anymore. So I think that's more the perspective to have, I think, than that, but sometimes we humans don't take that attitude, do we?
No, we don't. As a matter of fact, it would be great if as business people we could have the corporate memory that the geese have of their, not just where they are from. As you know, a goose can be born in a pond in Canada and migrate all the way down to the eastern shore and winter here and go back, and they'll set in that same pond. And how they do it is just hard to imagine.
It's amazing. And you know, there are many other animals like that. The sea turtles are supposedly like that.
Yeah.
They come back and lay their eggs on the same beach that they were born. Anyway, well, folks, we get a little bit of everything on the Small Business Advocate Show. That was our wildlife tour with our Mutual of Omaha friend, Mike Menzies. Mike, let's talk about the relationship, the banking relationship that small business owners must have to be successful. In my opinion, you must have a good relationship with your bank to be successful in your small business.
No doubt. And, you know, Jim, as we attempt to understand the evolution of this economy, more and more we're seeing the economy migrate into two basic quadrants, the service quadrant and the commodity or the product mm-hmm. quadrant. And in order to be in business today, it's so important that a small business really knows what it's all about, really knows its niche, really knows what business it's in, because competition has become and will continue to become even more and more intense. If you're a small business and you're really just in the product business and that's it, Boy, you better be able to get out on the internet and find ways to crank up your volume, because your margins are just going to get as tight as can be. And if you're in the service business, then you really need to know what service you're in. What are you really selling? What's the value added? What is the perceived value, which is defined as perceived benefit in excess of perceived cost?
Well, that's all part of the vision of your business, isn't it?
And, yes.
And if you are the owner, if you are the top of the heap, so to speak, where the buck stops, if you don't have a vision for where you are and where you want to go, and if you haven't been able to take the time to really focus on that, then you're just kind of wandering around lost out there, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, you know, there's an old saying, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there.
That's right.
And the word vision is a word that I think is important for all business today, not just the big telecommunications companies. But vision is a word that describes the capacity to define what you're going to be, what are you going to look like. And small businesses often are reacting to their environment rather than proacting.
Yep.
and saying, this is what we intend to be. And there's nothing wrong with that vision being the retention of the heritage of your company. If that's part of your niche and if that's part of your image, that's fine. But having a vision is critical. Even if you're just a newspaper delivery boy and your vision is to make sure the paper's on the porch and not and out of the rain, without that, again, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there.
But Mike, there's never been a time in my fairly long business career when it's been more dangerous for someone in a company to say, big or small, well, that's just the way we've always done it. That is a death wish statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that classically small businesses are driven by one or two individuals who feel it's important to make all the critical decisions. And one way of making decisions is to say, we're just going to continue to do what we've always done.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that if you have looked at identifying that what you've always done is what makes things work and why it makes things work.
And those are the kinds of things, we're coming up on a break here, Mike, those are the kinds of things that your banker wants to hear you say, don't they?
Yes, exactly.
You want to hear this person that's sitting in front of you not talking about old ways or reacting to things. You want to hear them talk about vision. And we're going to talk about that some more when we come back, vision and some specifics. We're going to get into some details. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingham, Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. Mike Lindsey is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland, and he assures me that it's a beautiful morning in Eastern Maryland this morning.
It is gorgeous in Eastern Maryland this morning.
Yeah, that's great. I'll have to come there and visit you guys one of these days.
Please,
Mike, we're talking with Mike about how to have a successful relationship with your banker, and I'm glad Mike started talking about vision, making sure that when you come to your banker, that you've got the vision of your company ever at the ready. Now, obviously, Mike, if the businessman or businesswoman who comes to you with a problem, it doesn't make you feel comfortable if all they want to do is talk about their vision, because you've got to know when to turn the vision on and when to turn it off, don't you?
Yes, vision is a piece of a whole, and there are a couple of words that you use, Jim, that are really drivers when it comes to banking, and the word was relationship. The word relationship describes understanding what kind of financial solution banks can provide to customers and what banks want from customers from the standpoint of relationship. And there's no such thing as a small business that doesn't incur problems of some kind.
They all have.
It's part of life. The challenge is to make sure that the problems are communicated with the banker in such a fashion where they feel an obligation to provide solutions, that the banker wants to provide solutions. And in that particular respect, classically the banker's role is to solve financial problems. And their part of the vision of a company is to really understand where it's going, and part of understanding where it's going is understanding what the financing needs of that company happen to be in order to carry out the vision.
One of the things that I know is important, and you and I've talked about this, is the importance of a business plan. And there are people saying, oh, no, not the business plan word again. You know, because they hear me talk about it all the time. I have Tim Berry and others on the show who are business planning experts, and we've talked about business plans a lot, but they're very important that you have them. Tell us what you look for in a business plan when someone brings you when you have an opportunity to either meet a new prospective customer that wants maybe some significant credit from you, or you've got an existing customer who just wants to ratchet up their relationship with you a little bit. What are you looking for in a business plan?
Well, you know, the concept of a business plan has been around for a long time, and it's now kind of becoming both a strategic plan and a business plan, and I'm sure that some small businesses wince when they hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, the banker just wants more bloody information. But the strategic plan typically consists of three basic components: the vision for the company, its mission, what is it going to do, what's it going to carry out, what's it about, and the goals of the company. And those basic components comprise the strategic plan of the company. This is our vision, this is our mission, and this is what we intend to get done. And then from that is derived the business plan. And the business plan usually has three basic components. The first is the marketing component. What is the market? What component of the market do I believe I have the right to capture, or the ability to capture? And what part of this market am I going to go get?
Who are the competitors?
Right. Who are the competitors? What is their competitive advantage, and what is my competitive advantage?
It could be as detailed as price points of products.
That's exactly right. And that's a really good point, is that you can... let me finish the business plan components, which are basically the marketing component and then the operating component. Who's going to do what? Who's responsible for opening the door and making the coffee? And then the finance component, which is once we know the market we're going to get, and once we know who's going to do what are the financial consequences of that? And with a strategic plan and a business plan, a small business can have some focus. And oftentimes I think small businesses think it's got to be a 100-page document. It doesn't.
I'm glad. Thank you for saying that.
It may only be a 2-page document.
Thank you.
But it's a platform to establish the future of the company, and these strategic plans and business plans grow over time as small businesses gain market knowledge. That's it in a nutshell from the standpoint of how a small business can organize itself around a set of objectives.
And the more commitment that you're being asked to make, typically would I be correct in saying the more detail you like to see in the business plan?
Yes, and that's true. At the same time, it's the role of community bankers, of bankers who live and work and depend upon the community, to be part of that business planning process.
Part of the solution, not part of the problem. I like to hear you say that, Mike. Thank you.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, folks. It's 29 after. We'll be right back with Mike Menzies. Give us a call if you have a question about how to deal with your banker, 888-822-8255. Mike Menzies would be very happy to take your call. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'd like to thank a couple of stations for airing our show. Brand new this week, WLTH 1370 out of Gary, Indiana, an area that I know well because I used to live there. The place I lived was called, I think it's now called Lake Station, used to be called East Gary, and part of my growing up years was spent there. And I want to thank Edward Sanchez for picking up the show. Thank you very much for that. Looking forward to working with all you folks there in the Gary, Indiana area, Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana, Northeast Illinois. Also, I'd like to thank Richard Kassenberger at KYET out of Williams, Arizona, which is, I'm told, is hard by to Flagstaff. That's Power 1180, KYET. Thank you very much for joining us and for taking our show. I appreciate that very much. Looking forward to working with you. And don't forget to listen to Richard Kassenberger's show later this morning. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's our good friend. He's been with us before, president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. Mike, I'm going to give you a chance to give us a little commercial about your bank.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. That's That's superb. I'll take advantage of it. Eastern Bank and Trust is a six-year-old community bank. We're proud members of the Independent Community Bankers Association of America, which is the only trade association that really represents community-based banks.
Outstanding organization. They've been on the show before.
Yeah, great outfit. And we're 6 years old, and we're in a wonderful part of the world, the Delmarva Peninsula. We're just across the Chesapeake Bay from Annapolis, Maryland, in a community of about 12,000 in the town of Easton, and a county of about 33,000. Little rural agricultural town, and just a great place to visit.
The size of your bank?
We're $55 million.
Okay.
And we're surrounded by about 600 miles of waterfront that represents the Chesapeake Bay and the headwaters of the Miles River and the Tredavin River. It's a lovely part of the world.
Well, I've been near you. I haven't been in the Easton, but I've been near you, and it is a beautiful part of the world. Mike, you mentioned independent bank, and I've used that term on the show. I've had independent bankers on quite a few times before, you as well as others, and also the folks in your national organization, the ICBA. Help some of the folks out there who might not know the difference between an independent bank and some of the larger banks. What's the difference?
Well, the main difference is that an independent bank is locally owned. It's owned by a group of stockholders who usually represent a fairly confined geographic area. Sometimes it's owned by just one family. And what that means is that the directors of the organization, the officers of the organization, are living where they're doing business. When they make loans, then they own that loan. It belongs to them. They're part of that loan.
Mm-hmm.
They're at risk along with the borrower. They're at risk for their reputation. They're at risk for the relationship. They're at risk for making it work. And that is not to knock the big banks. They have a role. The big banks are very much in the commodity side of the business. Most of the decisions made at big banks on the consumer side are credit scoring, meaning that your numbers are put into a computer and a result comes out. And that creates efficiencies and economies, but it just is a different kind of a relationship.
An independent bank, folks, a community bank, is a small business in the banking industry.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they face many of the things that you face in your small business, and that's the reason why they know a lot about what you go through. And I'll tell you, you'll find more empathy and understanding at an independent bank, but I will tell you, you'll find it quicker there than you will at any of the larger banks. And one of the things that I say, Mike, is whenever you've got a need, a credit need, and you're looking for a source for money, I tell people to put your package together and take it to no less than two banks, maybe as many as three. But make sure whatever you do, one absolute requirement is that at least one of those banks is an independent bank.
And I appreciate that, Jim. I think that that competition is the driver of this economy, and people should never hesitate to be shopping with organizations. But I think it's important that you get the community bank perspective for any transaction, any business transaction that you're involved in.
You've got to have at least one of them. You need to know what that is. And I'll tell you what, folks, I also tell people, Mike, that they should have more than one bank relationship. It's, depending on how big they are, if they get any size at all, they need to have at least two banking relationships. And I don't care if you have two independent bank relationships, but make sure that if you have two, that at least one of them is with an independent bank. I just think that's essential for small business. By the way, folks, our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to ask me or our guest, Mike Menzies, 888-822-8255. Let's move out. We were talking about the business plan a minute ago, Mike, and I really appreciate some of the things that you were saying. Let's talk about the C's of credit, and I know this is a big deal. If you talk to a banker very long, they're going to talk to you about the C's of credit.
Sure. The C's of credit sort of represent the foundation for decision making in banking, in particular in small business lending. And they are very simply defined as character, capacity, capital, collateral, coverage, and conditions. And I'll run back through them again. Character is certainly the driver of all decisions. What is the integrity and the character of the borrower?
Mm-hmm.
Capacity defines the ability to repay the loan. What's the capacity of the business enterprise to generate profits and repay the loan? Capital is at risk. How much money is at risk?
Stand by, Mike. Okay. Hold that thought. Folks, we're going to come back and finish up Mike's discussion of what the four C's, not the four C's, it used to be four C's. Now it's about six or seven. We're going to be right back after these messages. The C's of credit, 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blessinger, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessinger, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask a question of me or my special guest, Mike Menzies, who's the president of Easton Bank and Trust, which is an independent bank, community bank out of Easton, Maryland. And we're talking about your relationship with your banker. And Mike, I'd like to invite you to come back. We've got a lot of other things to talk about. We're not going to nearly get through the things that I really would like to get you to talk about. Would you come back and talk about this some more in another day?
Be delighted.
On another day. I appreciate that. Let's get into the rest of the C's of credit. Didn't they used to say four C's?
Yeah, I guess when I grew up, there were four C's of credit four C's of credit. And I think they've expanded just a tad. I mentioned that character and capacity are the first two. Capital is the third, and that means how much money is going to be put at risk, or what capital is put into the operation. Collateral would be the fourth, which is if for some reason the loan doesn't perform, is there a fallback position for the bank? Remember, the bank is lending out Antilli savings account, which is guaranteed by the FDIC. So collateral is a component of it. Coverage is an important C of credit. Coverage has to do with insurance, and that is there a way to transfer risk outside of the business?
That's one of the new ones,
isn't it? And coverage is a new one, and conditions is the last one, I guess. And conditions is, does it work? Does it make sense? Are the conditions right? And those
Say them again. Character,
capacity,
uh-huh.
Capital, collateral, coverage, and conditions. Those six C's of credit are the basis for almost all commercial loan decisions, and they frankly represent a wonderful outline for a basic loan application.
Yeah, folks, if you are earlier in the hour and over the last few days, I've been telling people you were going to join us, Mike. I have said, folks, we're going to talk about the things that you can do to help your banker help you. And one of the things you can do is to take these six C's and sort of do your own little profile.
That's exactly right. And if small business loan applications address those basic issues, then lenders can break through the ice with the applicant to develop solutions a whole lot faster.
I want to talk about capital, capacity. Mm-hmm. I want to put it capacity, and I wrote down out beside that in parentheses as you were saying that, cash flow.
Right.
And I had a banker told me once, he said, Jim, if you could only bring me, you know, you've got this business plan, you've got all this stuff, it looks great, and we were just talking about you know, the relationship, not mine in particular, but just in general. He was a good friend of mine, and he said, if I could only have one sheet of paper, to make my decision, I would ask you for your cash flow statement.
I can relate to that. I think that one of the classic phrases for small businesses is that frequently the most successful small businesses grow broke.
And that's right.
Growing broke is a term that describes the fact that with success comes the need for finance of different forms. And the cash flow statement is a document that allows you to understand what kind of demands are going to be placed on your business. And it needs to go beyond the next month or two. It needs mm-hmm. to go for a year or two so that you can understand the relationship between the growth of your sales, the growth of your assets, and your financing needs.
If you walk into your banker with a budget, if I were that banker, I would say, well, unless you're a government agency, this doesn't help me much. Because government agencies work with budgets. They don't work with operating statements or financial statements. But the cash flow statement has this one magical line for bankers, doesn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
It's the debt service line.
Yeah.
That tells the banker, it's got the essential part of your operating statement on it, And it tells the banker, though, that here's how and when he or she's going to get their money back. And right below that, a line or two below that, is how much money's left over after you do that.
It's so important to understand, as a small business, the relationship between cash and sales and assets. And it's important to track it, and it's important to forecast it and then compare forecast with actual, because in fact it does change. And it's so common for small businesses to go out and take on contracts and opportunities and chase those opportunities and all of a sudden discover that the cash demands far exceeded what they expected. And it puts them in a panic situation, mm-hmm. where they're in the bank in a panic. And a good banker will sit down and say, okay, let's relax and let's figure out what's causing this need for cash. And then let's structure a loan around the repayment sources that are appropriate for your need.
Well, I'll tell you, you're exactly right. And I'm glad you said what you did. I'm going to remind you of using the word relationship as you did with me, mm-hmm. only it's different. I was talking about person-to-person relationship. This is the relationship that Mike was just mentioning, folks, is the relationship between cash and accounting. Mm-hmm. And we're going into a break, and I'm going to say something that I like to talk about a lot, Mike. Profit is the queen of business, but cash is king. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies, the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Eastern Maryland. Stay with us.
Put on your red dress, baby.
We are back at 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please be sure to check that out. And if you missed part of our visit with Mike today, Mike Menzies, president of the Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland, you can go to my website and hear the replay of this show in its entirety within about an hour from now. Till it's replaced with the next show. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Mike, do you guys have a website?
We are building a website right now. We want it to be really interactive. We didn't want to just have a
brochure.
Yeah. And we'll have it constructed and up and running within about a 5-month period of time.
Well, you be sure to let me know. We'll tell folks about it. And you agreed to come back in a couple of weeks and talk to us some more about banking relationships, and I appreciate you doing that.
My pleasure.
Let's wrap up the hour by talking about we got into the C's of credit, and I wanted you to mention those, and we're going to come back and get more into detail in what those are. Some of the details: character, capacity, capital, collateral, courage, and conditions. We're going to talk about that more, but as we wrap up the hour, I want you to talk to us for just a minute about how much you should have your banker involved in your business.
That's a tough question, because it really depends upon how much your banker can really be value-added, but I think that's probably the answer.
I think that's the key,
Your banker should be as involved as they can be truly value-added. Last thing you want is to have them over-involved or interfering. I don't think many bankers really want to be in that position either.
Well, could it be safe to say that if you feel that you can't get your banker involved in your business as much as you would like to, that you need to find a new banker?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. I think that you got to know that you can pick up the phone and call your banker in the evening and say, hey, I need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get a hold of your banker in the evening, you probably don't have the right banker.
I used to say,
if you're a small business.
I used to say, and I have said this before, that sometimes small business owners, when they get frightened about things, when they have a problem, they don't want to tell their banker because they're afraid it will scare him or her, and nobody ever gets anything out of a scared banker.
Well, that's a really good point, Jim. And what businesses have to understand is that when they have a problem or a difficulty and they go to their banker with it right away, then the banker ends up with some ownership of that problem.
That's the key. Say that word again.
Yeah,
magic
ownership.
Word. Ownership.
That's major,
exactly
major
right.
issue is that if your banker owns the problem with you, then they own the solution. And if you hide the problem, the banker doesn't own it, and you come to them too late and there's no solution, then the banker doesn't want to own it.
Take it to them early. Make them be part of it.
Yeah, make them own the problem they can own the solution.
And if you haven't got a banker that you feel like can help you with that, that will take the appropriate kind of ownership, keep looking till you find that person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what the word relationship's all about.
Exactly right. And that's the reason why, folks, I'm not going to tell you, I do business with large banks and small banks. I'm not going to tell you that you can't find that person in a large bank, but I will tell you that you will probably find it in an independent bank.
We would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I had some good friends who are with big banks, and they're under a great deal of pressure. They really are. There's no doubt about it. They're under pressure to perform, make decisions, and focus on profitable relationships. And community banks are afforded the opportunity of working on making relationships profitable.
Mm-hmm. No question. Mike, we're going to have to wrap it up for this hour. You've done a great job. We've been talking about the relationship, the important relationship between a small business owner and his or her bank. And Mike, you've done a great job helping us with that. Looking forward to continuing our conversation in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Jim, thanks for being a small business advocate.
Thank you, sir. Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of beautiful Eastern Maryland. Now, before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, small business advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.